Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, Pastor Director of the Catholic Community. It is Stewardship Weekend here at the Catholic Community. The readings are from the first Sunday of Lent, Cycle B.
In the middle of everything we're doing, multitasking in our sleep, we're given Lent, which at first glance is somber. The soundtrack of Lent is in a minor key. Wipe that smile off your face. And we're giving something up. But it's a blessing. In fact, I've heard several references to this year, people giving up Facebook. I know Facebook's local, and probably plenty of you work there. But you get it. The buzz of all the information that comes our way and saying, I really need a break from some of it. Jesus goes into the desert, but he goes into the desert after having been baptized by John. Remember where in Mark's gospel, he says everything in about one sentence. There's never any detail. Jesus meets John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptizes him, and Jesus hears a voice directed to his heart. It's not spoken aloud to everyone around him, just to him. But it's the most intimate thing that a person could hear. I want to say it so that you can hear it with your name in the fill in the blank. Can you put your name in there and hear God, the God of the entire universe, speak to you singularly by name and hear, you are my child. I'm delighted with you. Can you hear that? Your name, which you were given at baptism, your name followed by God, the God of the universe, saying to you, you belong to me, you're my child, and I'm thrilled with you. I'm delighted with you. That's at the beginning of the gospel, not just because it records an event in the life of Jesus, although it does that, but we understand Jesus not to just be that one in a million or God's pet, God's favorite. He's what the church calls the first fruits. He's the beginning of a chain reaction of love. He's the first, and we follow. Well, okay, he hears deeply that he's beloved by the Creator. And then it says, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Mark will never use a simple verb when an over-the-top verb will serve. He can't just go into the wilderness. He's driven by the Spirit. The sky doesn't just open. It's split in two at the baptism. Jesus is driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. And he's there, tempted by Satan, and the wild beasts are around him. And then, oh, by the way, angels who serve him. So there's a fearsome quality to the beginning of Lent because it invites us to put everything down, calm all the other noise, and let God speak to you. That really you can only hear if you make space and time and sit still and dedicate some time. Maybe early in the morning if that works for you. Walking away on your lunch hour, finding a quiet place, finding a time in the household where it's still and there's nobody calling for you to do anything. And sitting still and saying, go ahead, use my imagination. One of the ways that I do that, that you could try if you want, is I'll close my eyes and I'll imagine that screen where your daydreams play and where your dreams, your thoughts are. That visual thing that happens inside of us when our eyes are closed. And I imagine that screen being like a touch screen that can be accessed from either side. I could type on it, or I can invite the Lord to have the cursor move in me and put anything in my imagination that you want me to see. If you're good at remembering your dreams, you can ask the Lord to do that all night long. Is there anything you want me to see that I'm just not getting any other way? The last prayer of the day in the monastic tradition, Compline, accomplishes that. Compline is a way of giving your consciousness to God and saying, I'm going to be unconscious soon, but I don't want to be asleep to you. I don't want to be alert to anything you can tell me even while I'm unconscious. So you can bless your sleep and say, I give my unconsciousness to you. If there's anything that you can teach me while I'm sleeping, go ahead. There's a psalm that I love. The line of it goes, the Lord gives gifts to his beloved while they slumber. So I say to the Lord, okay, I wouldn't mind if you gave me a gift tonight. Help me to be receptive to whatever it is you want me to hear. You can bet that it's going to start with, you are beloved to me. I'm thrilled with you. And then it might go in the direction of wilderness and challenge if you're open to it. Jesus was. Some of you know that this has been a strange week for me. My mom looked like she was dying a few days ago. She's had congestive heart failure for about 10 years and managed it really very well. But there came a day when she couldn't stand up. She's so full of fluid that it's beginning to affect organs, and her ankles and feet are all swollen and infected and stuff. So when I got this call, I asked my brother-in-law, do you think I ought to come home? And he said, I would if I were you. So I did, and I'm one of five kids. All five of us made our way to Texas from all over the place. By the time I got there, she was out of the hospital. They gave her this diuretic that took care of a lot of the retained water that was causing systems to have trouble. And we were there for Mardi Gras. She's from New Orleans. So I walk into her apartment, and she's sitting there like Queen of Mardi Gras, happy to have all of us home. And on Ash Wednesday, we went out to Red Lobster, which she just loves. I got to say Mass for her on Mardi Gras Day in the facility where she lives. She's been there 7 years, so I've gotten to know a lot of the people that populate her life. She prays for you all the time. She's always asking about it. She's been out to visit a couple of times when she was capable of that. And sometimes when I have specific things, when you let me know of things that are going on in your life, I'll go to her and say, I want you to pray for this person, and her name is this, and here's a little bit of what you might pray for. She intercedes for you all the time, even though she might not know you. Anyway, she's better. We had to do a bunch of that, you know, planning about what are next steps, somebody to come in the morning and help her, and she could only stay in the place she's at if she's able to get down to a meal every day. If she can't do that, she can't stay there anymore. So there's all these little calculations. Maybe some of you had to do that with an elderly loved one. I was glad I could be there and not always be the absent son, but be there to take part for a little while. But while I was there, I was thinking I was ready for her to do her funeral, and she's the last of her generation on either side of my family. My older brother and sister are retired already, and my birthday's in 2 weeks. I'm feeling older, and I was beginning to feel like I was having this kind of sad place about my family watching, you know, things change before your eyes, and I was thinking about you. Last week was my 5th anniversary at Stanford. 5 years, that's not so much. I lived at home for 18. I lived at Arizona State for 12, and after that, you're next. 5 years of my life lived with any group of people. That's third place right now. I spend much more time with you than I do with my blood family. So I was thinking of my blood family, and I was thinking of you, my church family, because we live in a cell of the body of Christ. We don't belong to the whole church in general so much as we belong to a specific place. God gives us a specific place to be and specific people to be with. So I was thinking of you specifically as this cell in the body of Christ that I've been given charge to lead. And I said to the Lord, can you help me to understand this family that you've given me at Stanford? And I went into the wilderness and said, tell me anything you want to say from your point of view about them. And the Lord did. I don't know if any of you have come from an evangelical Christian background or have evangelical loved ones. I went to a Protestant college, and most of my peers in faith were evangelicals, and I learned to pray with them. And one of the things that they often will say is this phrase, maybe you've heard it, God put it on my heart to, have you ever heard that? God put it on my heart. Sometimes charismatic Catholics will say the same thing. God put it on my heart. It means that something kind of sticks with you and it won't go away and it keeps echoing in you and your emotions begin to be caught up in it and you begin to feel like this isn't just me, it's more than me, and the Spirit seems to be prompting me to think a certain thing or perhaps consider a certain activity or response to something. The thing that I kept hearing was, Nathan, your little cell is lonely. You're the third congregation that I pastored in my life, and I think you're the loneliest. After being with you for 5 years and getting to know your heart, you're lonelier than any church that I've been a part of, unless I'm just wrong. And I could be. That's happened before. Not very often, but once in a while. I could be wrong. And I've wondered. For one thing, you don't live very near one another. Some of you drive down here from around San Carlos. Anybody from San Carlos or further north? I see three. Do I hear four? Four? Anybody from San Jose? Santa Clara? Mountain View. Some of you are on campus, right? Sometimes the campus seems like a really small world, except that, how about if you're at the medical school? How often do you get to the other end of campus? It may as well be on an island. And in fact, as I was praying about it, the Lord showed me that my community isn't so much a continent as much as it's like a chain of islands near one another but separate from one another. I just wanted to throw that out there because at the beginning of Lent, it's partly about our own inner conversion individually as a unique person, but it's also about the collective that we belong to in our cell of the body of Christ. One of the things I often encounter when I'm saying goodbye to you on the way out, when I stop, if I don't recognize you and try to get to know your name, I often hear people say, I come here sometimes, Father, but I also go to St. So-and-so, and I also go to that other church. And it seems like we sometimes have people that are like here once every third week or something like that. What I wanted to invite you to consider is, as nice as that can be and as convenient as it can be to hit this Mass that weekend and that one the other weekend, depending upon your plans, it can also contribute to your own loneliness and the loneliness of other people because nobody gets to know you. You're a moving target. How can we get to know you because you're here today and gone tomorrow? If that applies to you, I want to at least throw the idea out there. Would you test it and see if your faith life might come alive more if there were a place that you landed? And you're invited to land here if you want, even if you're not a student. I hear that sometimes. But I'm not a student, so I don't belong. Yes, you do, if you want to. Especially if you sign up and, you know, make your intentions known. Plant yourself somewhere. One other piece of it that has stayed on my mind is in the 5 years that I've been here, we've struggled financially, like most of the world. I got here in time for the collapse in 08. If any of you were here at the time, do you remember that panicky scramble we did just to try to meet the budget 1 year? Sadly, that really hasn't gone away. I felt like the whole time that I've been here, we've been operating on a shoestring. Really not thriving the way that I think we could, because I don't think either we just can't afford more than we're doing, or we're somehow not connected enough to one another for us to be a priority in each other's financial life. And that would be my responsibility to call that and name it if it's true. So I'm throwing a challenge out there. One specific thing that we're doing is challenging. We're doing a challenge grant, a challenge collection challenge thing. A lot of campuses around the country have been struggling with how to get this next future generation of Catholic leaders to kind of claim their church now and begin supporting it now, not when their ship comes in or when they start their startup and make it go public. Get their great job, and then begin to do what your parents did and write the check or commit to the cell and the body of Christ to which you're a member. What we've done, in short, is I committed $500, and I challenged several other people, would you do the same? And we came up with 5,000. And we're challenging students, if you'll sign up on the website and start contributing anything every month, we'll double it. Right? So there's going to be a student at the end that's going to go into that a little bit more. But it isn't so much about money as it is about, are we a priority to one another? Are we a family? Can I make time for anything besides Mass? When the announcements are spoken, do I presume that they're not for me? Is there a way in my little spot in this community, because a community is not just the leaders, it's every member. Is there anything I can do to contribute to a more vital, vibrant, alive sense of God in our midst? That's kind of a lot to throw at you. And I haven't spoken to you quite like that before, but I was thinking of you as my family, and I want to be more committed to you than I've been till now. If you'd like to know me better, email me. Take me to lunch. Or I'll take you. I've tried inviting you to some of you to my home, and honest to God, getting on your calendars is no easy feat. I thought I was busy. Anyway, is there any, as you move into Lent, would you think about your cell in the body of Christ? And if it's not the Catholic community of Stanford, define where is it? Does God always have to chase you to find where you are, or do you ever belong somewhere? And are you known there? And is there something that you can do, that God can put it on your heart to do, that helps weave together a tighter, more loving bond of people that are on this journey together?
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, Associate Director and Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.